Please pray with me, O Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
Beloved Jesus Christ,
Blessed Master,
dearest Mother,
Saints and Sages of all religions,
I bow to all of you.
Free my life from all obstacles.
And give me physical, mental, and spiritual development.
Make my mind thy altar.
Make my love thy home.
Be thou the only King.
Reigning on the throne of my consciousness.
Bliss.
Amen. The opening prayer always reminds me of Mother. It's her prayer, adapted somewhat from Master's, but such a beautiful prayer and an affirmation, an opening toward the divine consciousness that she stood for. I want to read from one of Mother's talks, in which she quotes a Christmas letter from Master. And Mother speaking, Master's voice will be with us always, down through the years and the beautiful things that he has written. This was a Christmas letter to students, individuals, and all nations, written many years ago. Dear friends, let us decorate the growing Christmas tree of civilization with the flaming flags of all brother nations. Let us drown our differences and behold the branchlets of our national life spreading out from the tree of one international life. Let us demand that America, India, Germany, Russia, France, China, Japan, Austria, Italy, Switzerland, Sweden, Mexico, Egypt, and all nations learn to decorate their flags on the Christmas tree of brotherhood and celebrate the coming of the United Nations of the world through their awakening in Christ. Let all brother nations contribute their best to make a league of hearts and a league of wisdom in preparation for their coming union. Let all nations consider themselves as children of God with different names only. May the love of nations be the twinkling lights with which to decorate the Christmas tree of world union. Let us obliterate the oddities of dogmatism and behold all religions as the branches of the one tree of truth. Let all sects celebrate around this one Christmas tree of universal religion in the coming United States of the world. Let us behold the soft twigs of our temporary joy-loving senses, not projected away from, but joined together to the everlasting Christmas tree of divine joy. May we all learn to climb up the spinal tree of life and pass by the starry knots into the infinite kingdom of Christ. In this coming Christmas, we shall celebrate the coming of one kingdom, one religion, one brotherhood, one human nationality, one wisdom, one ever new happiness, one language, one race, one universal law, one freedom, contact of one God, and one understanding of all human brothers. May this Christmas and New Year time fill you with the utmost determination to improve yourself and others as Christ would wish you to do, to usher in paradise on earth. Very sincerely yours, Paramahansa Yogananda. Reading from Matthew 2:1-23. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it was written by the prophet, O thou Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, until it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw a young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child from his mother and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt. And there was until the death of Herod, until that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken of by Jeremy the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted, because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel. For they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he rose, and he took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. And when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea, in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets, He shall be called a Nazarene. 2,000 years ago, a wonderful event happened in this world. The Christ child was born. Many children were born before that time, and many children have been born since that time. Why was this particular birth so outstanding? It was outstanding because another Son of God had come to the earth. And this was something special, because although many masters had come before, each to fulfill his own destiny in God, this one above all others came with a specific, a special, and a dynamic purpose, and that was to show through his exemplary life every single thing which happens within man. It is said that with the cradle there came also the shadow of the cross on which he was to be crucified. And this was the shadow of the cross was also the crown which he is to bear upon his head. We have talked much about the mystic Christ within. We have been taught by our blessed Master, who came but for one purpose, and that was to give us the underlying truth and to show us the unity of teachings of the East and West, the original yoga and original Christianity. The East is as the head of Christ, with the thousand-petaled lotus, and the West is as the body of Christ, the cross. Because each man is the cross, each man, as he is born into this world, is the cross. And the birth of this child was a miracle, a tremendous mystical event. And every time, every year that we know his birthday is to come, a sense of wonder permeates our beings, and we have this mystic feeling of the Christ's presence within us. The child became a man, and that man became the eternal principle. No matter what religious path you follow, still you follow the path of the Christ, because he is the Son of God within you. He is your true, your spiritual self, and he has come to lead you to your Father. This is the purpose of it. I remember so well this little room in India with the bars around the windows, just like a prison. And in all of the revelations that have come to me, there is one that stands out in my mind very vitally. I have been shown all these wonders that had been and that were going to come during the last half of this cycle when all must go back to God. I had experienced within myself the birth of John the Baptist, the birth of Jesus the Christ within. I had experienced many things, the transition from the physical to the subtle body, the transfer of the heart from the left to the right in order that I might have wisdom. Each time I would get something like this, it would come about 12 o'clock at night. And I remember this one night so well because I'd get these things in great pain. And I woke up screaming and I tried to get out of my bed and Father had to help me like he always did. And I was taken into the other room where there is a lamp hanging. And it seemed as though I saw the cross there in this lamp on the way that it was shown. And God said to me, I have shown you and you have experienced the birth and the death of Christ within yourself. There is one thing I want you to remember always, and that is the universal Christ. That is the universal God, the universal Christ who came to save all men from sin, to lift them up. Jesus the Christ actually lived. He is a man who became one with God, who became Christ, the Anointed One, the King of the Jews, for surely he was. Because we have come out of the land of Egypt within our own beings, we ascend into Judea or Jerusalem. And the Christ came from the Jews. These are the spiritual people of the earth. And it was meant that he should be the king of all, because he, of all of them, went through this one terrific experience. Ramakrishna started at the middle, and he pursued every single religious path, only to find the same God, the Father, at the end of each. No matter which techniques he used, which rituals he used, which creeds, it didn't make any difference. And I was shown that Master came to bring all the pieces of religions, or all the pieces of the pie, back together again, to unify them. That truly he also had the consciousness of Christ. Every Christmas was a very special occasion for Master, and on the 24th, all of the days of his life with us on this continent, he spent the day in meditation with all of those who would meditate with him, and the vibrations that came in that place were beyond human conception. And he used to pray to God, O Lord, reveal thyself, reveal thyself. Christ, come to me. Not wonderful. We have the great privilege of being taught the truth. And Mother, of course, as she said here, paid a very great price for it. And you might wonder, why is it that someone have to pay such a great price? If you think about a mother who is giving birth and all of the birth pains that go into bringing this wonderful new soul into this earth cycle. It's wonderful, it's beautiful, but it's very difficult at the time. And so it is also true that when we bring forth any great truth, any great new understanding, there will be a price to pay. There are the birth pangs that come along with it. It is because man has lived against God's law for so long. God's law is systemic to our being. There are things that are universally true. And no matter how long we go out from God, no matter the culture, the language, the religion that we live in, there are certain things that will always be found to be universally true. It is like mathematics. If you destroy all the books on mathematics, the mathematically minded will rediscover those truths. Now, it may take a great time, and there may be suffering and difficulties that come about as a result. Jesus brought in these tremendous teachings, and they got lost down through the years, the true import, the inner meaning of them. It's a great shame because, as we can see, there are many things that were done in the name of religion, in the name of Christ, that were not right, and they have their damage. And as a result of that, there are people today who have doubt in God or who have no affinity at all for the great teachings that he came to bring. And that's too bad. I myself was victim to that in the sense that when I came of age at 12 years old, I realized the inadequacy of the teachings that I was getting. And so I pushed them away. And I didn't go deeper into them. I didn't have anyone to show me. And I didn't know that there was anything deeper. I never had anything against Jesus. I thought maybe he's a wonderful psychologist who used God as a hammer blow to get people to behave correctly. But I was far off the mark on that. Because as Mother came into my life and as she taught me the truth, and she taught me about Christ consciousness, that's not something that you would hear in the general vernacular. And Christ consciousness is that divine self within ourself. We exist on many different layers. And this Christ self, this Christ being, is always within us. It cannot be destroyed. It cannot be changed in any way, no matter what a terrible character we might be, no matter what we might do against our fellow man, against ourselves. We can never destroy it. It is a gift that is given to us. And this is a tremendous thing. It really is. In many parts of the world, there's great discussion. Does God exist? Does he come as man, as God man, or is he impersonal? Is he beyond? In India, there are many people who have those kinds of discussions. The Vaishnavites, those who worship Krishna and other incarnations, say that God is a human being, and they emphasize that aspect and that it comes in that particular form. And they worship and they love that form only, and sometimes they get into arguments. Is it Shiva? Is it Vishnu? Is it Krishna? Is it Rama? And they go on as to who is the greatest. And it's interesting. And you can take a look at that. And then there are the Gyanis. And the Gyanis would say, God is not personal at all. God is beyond all creation. It's beyond everything that is. If you would ask traditional Muslims, they would say that it's sacrilege to think of God coming in a human form. For the traditional Jews, the same would be true. And yet, we have the Christ, we have Jesus, who came as an incarnation, and Christians today would say that Jesus is a manifestation of God. He's part of the Trinity of God. Now, this formulation is something that came much later in the life of Jesus, much after he had left the body. And it was something that was thought to be true and accurate. There are the Synoptic Gospels. Those are the three of Matthew, Mark, Luke. And then there is the one that is from John. And John's very different. Synoptic means similar. And John is seen as being something very different. And I love the Gospel of John. It has such great truth in it. But we have to go beyond just the imagery, and we have to go beyond just personal association in order to really get at the truth of what Jesus came to bring. Jesus came to show that man and God could be unified. He said, I and my Father are one. And in the first of John, it says, to all them who received him gave he power to become sons of God. So this is something that is held out, and yet modern day Christianity, by and large, cannot accept such a thing. They say, no, it was only one individual. There was not more than one incarnation of God, and that no one else can attain to that. So they lose out on the deepest nature of the teachings that Jesus came to bring. It's no accident that Mother was born on Christmas Day. She came in order to bring forward these truths. And through her own experiences, she realized that many of these truths were about our own physical body. That the Joseph and Mary represented the pineal and the pituitary glands, and that secretions came out of each one of these glands, and they formed a Christ seed. And from that Christ seed came the birth of Jesus. Now, it was a virgin birth because the two glands never came together. They were their own separate, discrete glands, but yet, through the nervous system, these two secretions come together, and they form this Christ seed. And then this Christ seed travels down the ganglionic nervous system, as Mother described. And it comes into a conical-like cave just behind the stomach. Now, Bethlehem means house of bread. And so it all happens right within you. And then in your deep meditation, you see the five-pointed silver star. And this is a wonderful thing. It's a star of the east. It's interesting that Herod and his wise people, they were also astrologers, but they were asking, when did you see this star? Where did you see this star? Oftentimes we think, well, such a star would be seen by everybody, but apparently not. And so this star is something that happens within you. And these wise men who bring the gold, frankincense, and myrrh are qualities that are within you. In yoga, there are the three qualities of the Rajas, the Tamas, and the Sattvic. And these three different qualities are represented by these three different gifts. Now, the Rajas is the activating spirit within you. The Tamas, which is the myrrh, is a herb that was used at the time of death of a body. And then there is the Sattvic, and it is given, and it is the frankincense. It's the sweetness of worship. And so you're lifted up in this way, and so the gold represents this focus upon the world and this Rajasic aspect of ourselves. When we're able, through self-mastery and grace, able to allow these three qualities of our being to completely and totally surrender themselves at the feet of the Christ, then we begin on this great journey. Now, somebody wrote to me recently who was initiated into Kriya in a different tradition, and he's asking me some details about Kriya and how we practiced it and so on. And he's consumed with this idea about all the specifics. He's gone around to so many different people. And as a result of that, he's got confusion around all of this. Now, this is not the way to go about it. When we find ourselves drawn to a particular spiritual path, we dedicate ourselves to that path, not because other paths are not correct, not because they would be invalid in any way at all. It's simply that if you're going to go into any course of study, you have to be willing to go deeper into one specific area. Swami Satchitananda talked about in chanting Ramnam, and he says, in the beginning, it's all right to chant these different tunes, but at some point, you want to focus on a specific tune, because through that focus of that specific tune, then it regulates your breathing, it brings your attention to a fine focal point, and it is when you enter into that complete and total stillness. Now, Papa didn't talk about meditation so much because it was his feeling that through chanting and divinely loving, that eventually your mind would become purified and you would automatically enter into these deeper states. And so this individual who had written to me about the Kriya techniques has said, well, I've gone through the Kutasya Chaitanya, which is the third eye point. It's a spiritual star at the forehead. But it's not simply a matter of going into it once or twice. You have to learn to merge yourself into that divine consciousness. One of the things that Master recommended doing was that as you go through the day, always keep your attention focused on the third eye point. And in that way, you can remain detached from the things of the world. You experience the things of the world. You participate in this world, and yet there's a part of you that is always residing above the world. And so you keep your mind upon this star. Dr. Lewis, when he was a dentist and he was initiated into Master, he's initiated by Master into the looking for the star. He had always wondered before he met Master, what does this mean? Let thine eye be single and thy whole body shall be filled with light. Somehow he knew it had a very specific and powerful meaning, but he didn't get to it. And so when he met Master on Christmas Eve, early on when Master was still living in Boston, Master then asked him to close his eyes and he touched him on the third eye point. And then Dr. Lewis saw this beautiful silvery light at the point of the forehead. Isn't that a wonderful way to bring in Christmas Eve? However, his wife didn't think so much of it because he was supposed to be home much earlier. They had a tradition putting up their tree and decorating it together on Christmas Eve. And he was gone late into the night and hadn't telephoned, and she didn't know where he was, and she was quite upset. In fact, she was quite angry. And Master loved to tell the story about how when Dr. Lewis was coming home, Mrs. Lewis was standing behind the front door with rolling pin in hand, and she was ready to let him have it. And then she saw him, and she saw that he was lit up in this wonderful light. And she dropped the rolling pin and dropped her anger as well. So there's this wonderful star, and every day, as Dr. Lewis would go up to his dental practice, he would go up to a landing. And there was a bench there on this landing, and he would sit down on this bench, and he would not go up to the next level until he had seen that spiritual light there. And then he would go up, and then he would go start his day as in his professional practice. Now, wouldn't that be lovely to be worked on by a dentist who had been starting his day out like that every single day? And he wouldn't budge until he had seen that light. So it's not a matter of just seeing that light. I remember the first time that I saw the spiritual star, and I was thinking of God and meditating, and then suddenly, without any volition, I wasn't trying to see it, suddenly it appeared in my ajna, my inner sight there at the point of the forehead, and I saw this beautiful star. And it was radiant, and it lasted for about 5 minutes, and I was so thrilled about seeing this star. It wasn't long after being initiated into Kriya by Mother. So I was very encouraged by this. But I was also a bit disappointed because I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel the transformation. I didn't go through the star and experience anything that way. And so it's important then to learn that it's just not a singular experience, not just seeing the light, it's not just seeing the star, but it's going into that star and then merging into it. I wrote about that experience that I had recently. That has been a wonderful theme about this Christmas in which we had our day of silence and meditation. And it was toward the end of our time, and I just asked God if there is anything else that he had for me that day. And then suddenly, I heard this tremendous sound of Om and this terrific pressure at the back of my head. And then I was lifted up, and in my internal vision, I saw this beautiful cathedral of light, so magnificent, so beautiful, filled with light. And then I noticed on each side were these tremendous columns. Also, they were columns of light, pure white light. And they were just so beautiful and so pure. And then I was drawn toward the front of this cathedral. And as I moved, as seemingly moved, although I didn't have any sense of motion, I moved and I went to the front, and where normally would be the altar and then the wall that was behind the altar, instead of there being a wall, there is this huge tunnel of light, and I entered into that. And as I entered into that, I traveled on and left the cathedral far behind. And then I entered into that star, that wonderful star appeared before my internal vision. And then this light from this star, as I moved through it, spread out all over this earth. And it was a radiance. It was a beauty. It was love incarnate. It was everything. You see, that's the Christ. That's the only Son of God that has been given unto this world for its redemption. And it happens right within you. Many people say, if they go down to the altar and they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior, that they've been saved somehow. And yet afterwards, they go out and they may not live the life. They may do all kinds of things and they make mistakes. And they say, well, I'm a sinner. And people will say that. I'm a sinner and I'm always a sinner. And yet, how do you square that with Jesus' own teachings? Be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, you could try to be perfect in a human sense, but you would be trying for a long time and still not get there, because this human consciousness always lives. Even when it's attuned to God, there's a bit of separation, and so you will make mistakes. But what is it, how then can you become perfect? Did Jesus misspeak himself? Did he tell a lie? Did he ask us to do something that was not possible? And then, no. We enter into the divine consciousness, and through the purity within that divine consciousness, we then are perfected within our own beings. We feel the purity, we feel the beauty, we feel the light and the upliftment. It's all there. And through touching in with God repeatedly, again and again and again, this human instrument is gradually perfected. Even when we make mistakes, Mother taught me a great lesson one time, told the story again, but I think it bears repeating because it was an important thing for me, and I think it's an important teaching about Mother and about God realization. We were getting together for Christmas one year. Mother was making tea and cookie, and she asked different parts of the group to come on different nights. And it was a wonderful thing. I'm not sure that I had been to Mother's apartment before that. I don't think I had been. And so I went in high anticipation, and Mother did me the honor and the privilege to ask me to come back, and she showed me her rooms in the back. She showed me a dresser where, when she had been fighting a dark spirit, a man who had been a Nazi and a war criminal, had come to her and told her everything in a kind of confession, and Mother took it on, and there were some dark spirits that were left behind when he left. But he felt free. He felt wonderful after that. Mother, feeling those dark spirits around her, she lit incense, because in the astral sense, dark spirits don't like the vibration of incense. So she lit that incense, and an unusual thing happened. It burned all the way down to the very base almost immediately. She had a little leather cover underneath the incense burner, and it burned right through the leather cover, and it burned a hole onto her dresser. Now, that's just not normal for a piece of incense. They don't burn like that. And so she showed that to me, and later on, I had the privilege of being able to refinish the furniture for her and took that burn mark out. But at that time, she was showing me. Then she told me about making a mistake in her checkbook, and that fortunately it had come into her favor, so she is all right. And so she is just telling me these little anecdotes. Then we went back out into the main group, and there is someone who is taking pictures. And she told them, in all seriousness, I want every one of those pictures perfect. Can you imagine? Every one of those pictures perfect. So the question came to my mind. Mother just told me, she set me up so beautifully here. She had just told me she had made a mistake in her checkbook. And, well, that's not perfect, is it? So I asked her the question, well, Mother, how do you square those two things? Well, you see, I was interfering with her work with this individual. That teaching was very specific for him, even as what she told me in the back room was very specific for me. And Mother oftentimes said, don't compare notes. I'll tell you one thing, I'll tell somebody something else. And if you compare notes, you'll get confused. Because what's right for one person at one time is not what's right for another person. These are very much tailored for you. So I was interfering with her work. And she just laid into me as she could. And she told me I was being disrespectful. I wasn't aware of being disrespectful, but it took many years for me to get to the bottom of this, and I realized that I was. I was disrespecting her work. I was interfering with it. And she told me I was being disrespectful and that she would not have it. And she just nailed me. I was sitting in one of those orange chairs that we still have. And, boy, I can tell you, I just felt pretty bad. Because it was right in front of everybody. And before that, it had been laughter and good stories. And I didn't think I was doing anything wrong. But, boy, did I get it. The other thing, the other lesson for me, was that I had grown up with a father who was quite strict and could be violent occasionally. And it reminded me, in one way, of being humiliated. My father had no problem holding me up in public, around anybody at all, and giving me what for. Mother did that, but she did it in such a different way. Because I also felt the love. I also felt the truth. Now, it took me a while to get there. But it began to heal me of this feeling that I had had growing up with the father that I had had. He's a wonderful man in many ways, but fatherhood was not something that came natural to him. And so there are so many different lessons happening all at one time. This is the way that God-realized souls operate. There are so many things that can happen. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. But it can also be very challenging. Very challenging. When the Christ came as Jesus, you can tell there are times when he gets very upset with his disciples. What's wrong with you? He would say, in essence. I have been with you all these times and you're not getting it. You're not getting it. And he would really lay into them. Now, when you love your spiritual teacher, this is the most horrifying thing that can happen to you. But it's also a wonderful thing to happen. As Master said with Sri Yukteswar, even though he was very hard on him, Master would bring around his friends from college and be telling them about just what a wonderful spiritual master that he had, and maybe building himself up a little bit, and then he'd get around Sri Yukteswar, and Sri Yukteswar would just lay in the master. And he'd find fault with him right in front of his friends and everybody, and it was tough. That's tough. Sri Yukteswar said to Master at one point, I want you to promise me one thing. You'll never avoid me. Now, that may sound like, well, that's not so difficult. Until you're on the journey, until you're on the path, until you're held in the crucible by the teacher. And then it can be the most difficult thing in the world. Because it goes right to your sore points. It goes right to those places that are most difficult for you. And why? Because those are the places that keep you separated from God. They really are. And so we must be cured of that, even though it's a difficult thing at the time. When we can accept every experience that comes to us as being perfect for us, it's a perfect lesson at a perfect time. Now, it doesn't, from a human standpoint, believe me, it doesn't always feel that way. But when we can learn to accept it in this way, it changes things. Because no longer do we feel separated from God. This is the great teaching that Jesus came to bring. This is the birth of Christ within you. Christ consciousness is I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He. Now we can say that in prayer, but there's a vast difference between saying it in a prayer and realizing it. We say it as an affirmation. And particularly with the closing prayer, you should try to feel it with everything inside of you, because you are connecting with all of that that prayer points your mind towards. Now, it is true, as with all of us, that there are those points of resistance, and that is what Herod represents. Herod represents the passions. And when the Christ is born within us, those passions come up. They want to destroy the child, that perfect Christ child. They know that it will be the end of the days for the dictator ego. And so King Ego is going to have to go, and it doesn't want to go. It wants to maintain its power, wants to maintain its control. So it does everything in its power to divert your mind, to bring up the things that you fear, to bring up desire natures that will draw your mind into different directions. This is our path. This is it. Oftentimes we think, oh, I must have done something terrifically wrong. Now, it can be that we weren't really dedicating ourselves to God, and that is why certain desire, nature, or fear came in. But the truth is, you will experience that. And you will have to face it. And the more that you're focused on God, the more you're focused on the light, the more you're focused on this Christ self, the faster you'll go to the goal. We realize after many, many lifetimes of fits and starts, we start something, we start going to the light, and then suddenly we get distracted. And you realize how easily that happens. And what that eventually results in is a firm resolve not to get dissuaded, not to get shoved off the path, not to allow yourself to be drawn into this or that, either of fear or desire nature. They're both twin sides of the same ego coin. Feel that God is within you. Feel the Christ being born within you. Feel the wonderful mystery that this time of year represents. Now, it really is a wonderful time of year that we can celebrate this, because it is the transition from going into the darkest, shortest days out of the year toward the light when we go towards the longest days out of the year. So symbolically, it's a wonderful time that, no, it may not seem easy at the time. For many years, the build-up to Christmas was very difficult, and particularly the build-up to the solstice, the winter solstice. I would feel a great intensity, and not all of it was good or nice. And it was so predictable that I could just tell, come around the 1st of December, it was going to start building inside of me. And so these things come. Don't let that dissuade you, and certainly don't become afraid of it. Because when you face these things squarely and with faith in the divine tide being with you and behind you and sweeping through you anything that's negative, anything that's not of God, then you will take the fastest path to the divine. There's a lovely story that Swami Satchitananda told, in which a woman went to see a yogi that was in a cave. And she sat there and she had some question for him, and she sat there for quite a long time. And after a while, she started looking at the time, and she realized that she was going to have to leave soon. But he didn't acknowledge her. He was deeply indrawn in his meditation. And finally she stirred and she was thinking, oh, I'm just going to have to go. And then he started to have some movements, and after a while he opened his eyes and he realized that she was there. And he said, oh, you'll have to pardon me. He says, I went into town yesterday and I got disturbed by some things that I saw, and I've been doing some sweeping. And so when you go into your meditation, if you just see it as, okay, look at these thoughts, look at these images, look at these feelings that are coming up. I'm just sweeping. I'm sweeping out the house. It's sweeping through me. And eventually, I mean, how much dirt do you have? I don't know. It can be quite a lot sometimes. But it doesn't have to go on forever. It's just, it's what we've come to do. It's good, honest work. So why not? Is that not the work we came to do? And so we just sweep. Just sweep. Let it pass. Let it sweep right through us. Pass right on through into that flame of light in front of us. Letting it go, letting it go. And eventually, one day, that Christ light, that Christ consciousness, that's Christ spirit, is just burning brightly within you. And it's the only thing that is burning within you. And now it doesn't even take any effort. It is just natural. That is the sahaja state. It doesn't take any effort. It just is. It's so firmly established in you now. Now, if this seems impossible to you, maybe from a human standpoint, that's true. But it's not just the human inside of you. The divine also exists. And when you touch God and the hem of God, you're purified. And each time you touch it, you're purified more and more and more. And then one day you realize that this resurrected Christ has really come into its own, right within your own being. That is the true second coming of Christ. And it is the fulfillment of this Christ seed being born within you. We had wonderful Christmas songs last night. I thought we'd sing something a little different this morning. We'd do some Sri Ram. And recognize it's wonderful when you go to Anandashram. As you're walking out of the Bhajan Hall, there's the picture of Jesus, very prominent, right by the door as you go out there. It's not without its controversy. There are people in India who feel they've been put upon by the Western culture, so they're not anxious for that. But Papa and Master were absolutely universal in their outlook. And there is such great love for Jesus. Papa had the experience in the cave where he was chanting and chanting, and then suddenly Christ, along with two others, materialized right before him. And he saw what beautiful, fathomless eyes Jesus had. And he knew the purity. He knew the God nature of this tremendous individual. So we don't have to divide up this world and say these people only are right and these other people are all wrong. Each person is called to worship the infinite in their own way. And that we can honor that throughout this whole world. And it's wonderful, really, because each person has their own language, they have their own songs, they have their own traditions. And we can learn something about that. It may not be our way, that's all right. But we can acknowledge, when we see it, the beauty, the truth, the love, the everythingness that divine consciousness is. Let us chant now. Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Om. Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Om. Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai Ram Om. Shri Ram Jai Ram Jai Jai. Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, 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 Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Saying Jai Ram, you're also saying Jai Christ, Jai Jesus, victory to God, victory to the Christ, victory to the God-man. May he awaken himself within me so that I might know the truth, and the truth shall set me free. Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, I feel the wonder and the beauty of Thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for Thee. I kneel in adoration at Thy feet and surrender myself to Thee. I feel the power of Thy perfection, surging in every cell of my being. My mind and my intelligence are radiant with Thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss of my communion with Thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He. The light within you. So glad that we can come together for this Christmas time.